Good evening, everyone. Hope everybody's doing well. We are in the last lesson for our in our theme for the what was the month of June, but now we're actually it's spilled into July, carried over into July at least by 1 week. Growing in the knowledge of God. So welcome, everybody. We will focus on Philippians chapter 3. But before we go there, I just want to kind of just like briefly recap some of what we dealt with last week with Psalms 27. We'll provide some context before we do all that. But let's go into prayer. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we thank you. We're so grateful, oh God, Heavenly Father, that you are God, that you are sovereign, that you're the one who's in control, God, that you're the one who's calling the shots. Father, that because you're the only one qualified to do so. Lord God, you're omnipotent and omniscient. God, you're omnipresent. You're holy, God. Lord God, you're excellent. Lord God, you're faithful and you're just, Father God, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, for all of your wonderful characteristics and your attributes. But most of all, Lord God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to call you Father. You are not just any Father, but you're Abba. You're our intimate Father. You said it. You said it in your word in Romans chapter 8. Lord God, you said you're not giving us the spirit of fear. Again, to spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But, oh God, you've given us this spirit, this wonderful privilege of sonship. Lord God, this spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, we have the right or the privilege to call you Father, to know that you are Abba, our intimate Father, our loving Father, oh God. Heavenly Father, the Father who submitted and surrendered everything, gave up everything, Lord God, for us. Lord God, you sent your son, God, and you went to the cross, Lord God, that we might be brought into right relationship with you, Lord God, that we might be able to experience true sonship, to have the experience of being your true children, oh God. So we thank you for this privilege. Help us. Help us, Lord God, to seek and to search you out, oh God, to get to know you even that much better, to grow in intimate fellowship and relationship with you, that we might be able to experience and enjoy this privilege and walk in true identity, oh God, knowing full well who we are, oh God. Heavenly Father, you said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. David said it, oh God, and he said, and my soul knoweth right well. Oh God, there's just an affirmation, an absolute wonder and joy and fulfillment in knowing who we are, oh God, in you. So help us, oh God, by faith to grow in the knowledge of who you are, to grow in the knowledge of who we are, oh God, in relation to you, oh God. Heavenly Father, and to operate and walk and live in our position in you, oh God. So help us right now. We commend this Bible study to you. Father God, we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us in this time right now, oh God. Break our hearts to your word. But Lord God, break our hearts to you. Help us to see you, Lord God, in this, that it not just be words in a book and a bunch of rules and regulations and statutes, oh God. But Lord God, that the very person of Christ be revealed through this word, oh God. And Lord God, that you would just that we would be sewn together with you, oh God. Have your way, replace us, oh God. Heavenly Father, bring us to an end of ourselves, oh God. Heavenly Father, that your life might be magnified, Lord God, and illuminated even from us, that more than anything, our very life might be the very praise unto your glory. Have your way right now. Crucify my flesh, Lord God, what I've seen today, what I've heard, what I've thought, what I've felt, oh God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, those things, Lord God, just go by the wayside. Heavenly Father, in your presence, have your way right now in this time. Be glorified and be magnified in it, oh God. Speak to us by your Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. This month, this theme has focused on our, as believers, right? Our growing in the knowledge of God, our growing in fellowship with him, right? Through a consistent pursuit of knowing Christ, knowing God through Christ, right? And the blessings of growing in a relationship. It's like, any other relationship. We all have friends, prayerfully, right? I know we all got friends, right? And, you cultivate and you grow in that relationship, right? You know that person today better than you knew them, when you first met them. And even better than that after a year, and better than that after 2 years, and three and four. And it's all relationship, me and my wife, even our relationship, we're closer today. Amen. Praise God. Than we were, 10 years ago, or 23, 23 years ago when we got married, where you grow. And that comes, that's cultivated, you, as you spend time with someone, but not just any old kind of time, right? But when we spend intimate and quality time. And that's really what this is about. That's what this salvation is about. It's about a relationship. It's about growing in fellowship, or growing in agreement with God, right? And that's what we do as believers. We, it's set up so that we grow continually in fellowship, right, with God. And there's no fellowship without agreement, right? And I heard, and I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning, and he was talking about how he was using the example of how of fellowship and walking with God, right? And he talked about, our being in the will of God, believers, the necessity of us as children of God being in the will of God, and our agreement with God, and us constantly walking in fellowship with God, and like how God is always with us. That doesn't change, right? That's what he was talking about. It don't change. God is always, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always with us. But what he was saying was, is that we're not always with him, right? He says, like, in a lot of believers, we try and justify actions and things that we do, like, you in the club, right? Can a believer go to the club? He says, yeah, he said, a believer can go to the club. You can be a believer and you can go to the club, right? He says, but it's not just about being a believer. It's about being in fellowship with God, like you in the club or you in the bar, or you somewhere you ain't got no business being as a believer. Is God still with you when you go to the club? He said, yeah, because he's an omnipresent God. He's always with you. He said, but are you with God when you go to the club? He said, no, you ain't with God, because you're not in agreement with God. You're not in agreement with the will of God, right? So, and that's this thing. You can have relationship, as upon the profession of our faith and our salvation, we're in relationship with God, but it doesn't always mean you're in agreement or fellowship with God, because fellowship denotes agreement with God, not just agreement meaning, like we on Bible study right now, and Pastor Wright is teaching something, minister is teaching something, or we in church, or somebody's preaching something, and we head not, and we agreeing. That's not the agreement. The agreement is our heartbrokenness, where the will of God replaces our will, and it is followed by action. Right. And we're actually, this word, what we're reading, what we're what we're studying, what we're meditating on becomes our living experience. And we're walking in lockstep, in agreement. How can two, right? What does he tell us in the Old Testament? How can two come together lest they be, how can two walk together lest they be agreed, right? We must agree with God. And what happens is, as through our continued pursuit of a growing relationship or growing in the knowledge of God, what we grow in is in agreement with him. Therefore, we grow in fellowship with him. You can have a relationship with God, right? And it be a rocky relationship, just like any other relationship. You had a friend, y'all have a disagreement, y'all get into an argument or whatever, whether it be heated or otherwise, right? You have a relationship with that person because you know them. I know you and you know me, right? But you're not in fellowship because there's no agreement. And that's why we don't even take the whole term of body or a fellowship of believers for granted, because what that says is that we all agree. That means we agree fundamentally and foundationally about who God is, right? Christ Jesus, what he's done for us in our faith in what he's done through the cross. And what we do is we grow in our fellowship with him in one another as we continue in the word. And this is what Pastor Wright was even dealing with on Sunday, John 8:31, right? If he said to them that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, that means there's a pursuit, right? A continued pursuit in growing in the knowledge of God and growing in relationship with God. Then conjunction, then it's covenant, then you will be, then you are my disciples. And you know, and this is what it's all about. Man, it's all about not the religion, you know what I mean? Not in how much I can read, not from a quantitative standpoint. It's not about the quantity of what you're reading or the quantity of what you're doing. It's the quality of time that we're spending in the word, the quality of time that we're spending in meditation and in prayer with God. The quality of that relationship will determine, and there's a direct correlation with the quality of time that we spend with him and our growth in relationship with him, just like any other relationship. And it's not like any other relationship, but like, in relationships, the quality of time that you spend with that individual determine, the quality of that relationship, the magnitude, the level of trust in that relationship, right? The level of love and dependence, right? The quality plays such an integral part in shaping and cultivating that relationship. So these things are so important for us. We can't say it enough. And that's why there are so many avenues and so many opportunities to be in the word at community, because there's no other way. I'm telling you right now, there's no other way to really cultivate a meaningful relationship with God outside of his word, right? We dealt with it a couple weeks ago. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And that was the Sunday school lesson on Sunday too, right? And the word was God, right? And the word became flesh and we beheld his glory, right? So it's through the word of God, right, that he reveals the person of Christ to us. And I can't negate the word of God or reject the word of God and say that I know Christ. Because how do you know him outside of who he was from the very before the beginning of time even was, right? We can't reject the word of God. We've got to be in the word. We've got to be a people where the word is off the shelf and in our hearts. We have to be. We have to be. He said, what did he say? He said, thy word have I done what? In Psalms 119, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? Thy word, that speaks to where our treasure is. He speaks to the hidden word in what we do with treasure. We hide treasure. We hide what's valuable to us in a place where only we, you know, in a place that's reserved only for us. So when he was saying, I hide the word in my heart, I value or I treasure the word in my heart. This word has got to be our treasure. It's got to be what's most important to us as believers. It's the only thing that's going to ever last, right? Right? Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the word of God is going to last, going to stand forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God is going to stand forever. It's the word of God, and we can't pursue. We can't pursue him absent of his word. We can't grow in the knowledge of who he is absent of his word. We're defined by our identity is defined by who he is. So guess what? We don't truly know who we are or who he's created to us to be absent of his word. We need, the word has to be priority. It has to be priority. Let me tell you something. Outside of the word of God, you remove the word of God from the church, and guess what? We got nothing. We have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. Then we're no different than the Red Cross, than Habitat for Humanity, than MANA, than any other do-gooder organization or entity in the world. And it has no staying power. The only thing that's going to last, the only thing that has staying power is the word of God. We need the word. The word has to be paramount of the utmost importance in the life of the believers. We've got to prioritize. I can't say it enough. We've got to prioritize. We've got to prioritize the word of God. So, you know, it's our privilege. It's our honor, right, to be the children of God. And that's why John could say, in 1 John, what manner of love is this, right? That we would be called the son, that you would call me a son, right? Right? Because we know who we are, right? We know what condition, man, Ephesians 2 tells us who we were before Christ came in, right? And that's the thing. And we got to know, we've got to understand the privilege that we had in being children and being positioned where we've been positioned. And we ought to seek after, we ought to want to know more about that. We ought to want to know more about who we are in him, right? Who we are in relation to him, right? What we have in him, all that we have. We have so much more in him than we have in this world. I don't care what your degree is, what your job is, how many zeros behind your annual income, right? What your status or reputation is, you build up. All that we believe that we can acquire and obtain and get in this world, it don't compare to what we have in Christ, to compare to what his plans are for us. And what we do is we cheat ourselves when we neglect the word of God, when we neglect seeking and searching him, seeking and searching for him through the word, seeking and searching his will for our lives, seeking and searching to receive this word and for the engrafting and the replacement of this word in us. We cheat ourselves. We cheat ourselves out of all that God has for us. Most of all, we cheat ourselves of the peace and the joy, right? True peace, true joy, not that temporal stuff that the world promises us that it can't truly deliver, right? We cheat ourselves of the affirmation and the validation and the security that we look for in things and the satisfaction that we look for in these inanimate objects that break, depreciate, run out, run off, die, right? We cheat ourselves of the eternal blessings and benefits that God has laid aside for us when we neglect seeking to know him better through his word. We cheat ourselves. We absolutely cheat ourselves. And we got to know. We got to know that it's all in him. We're complete. We are complete in him. We're complete in him. So, you know, just like briefly, like last week, we talked about, throughout, we talked about, you know, what a privilege it is to know him. We talked about our glory and fulfillment through knowing Christ, right? We talked about the intimacy and reconciliation, right? And then we talked about how he is our dwelling place. This fellowship, this relationship we have, that's our dwelling place, right? We looked at Psalms 27. We're only going to spend a couple minutes here and then we'll wrap up in Philippians. Talked about Psalms 27. It's just one thing I wanted to just, that I really didn't get into, that I wanted to make sure that we just covered briefly, is, you know, in that fourth verse when he says one thing, right? He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And, you know, we talked last week about the fact that, you know, that temple, right, the house of the Lord, that dwelling place is not a physical place. But it's Christ. He's our dwelling place. He's our refuge. He is our hiding place. He's our habitation. He's so much more than that. He's our life, right? And that's what Paul told us in Colossians chapter 3, right? Christ is our, we're seeking him. And that's the thing. That's the thing in this text. Like there were three like words that just stand out to you, to me when, you know, reading and going through that. He said, you know, it was his desire, right? He was that's what he was seeking after, and that he may dwell, right? The desire, seek, and dwell. Those words just spoke to me. They're powerful words because they all speak to Christ as the very object of our life and our pursuit, right? He says, one thing have I desired, right? And that's, you know, if we're going to grow in the knowledge of who he is, if we want to grow in our fellowship with him, he's got to be our desire. He's got to be our desire. Like our motives have to be pure in that way, right? He's got to be the object of our desire. And we paralleled it last week, and we're paralleling it this week with Colossians chapter 3, because he talks about if you then be risen with Christ, right? Seek those things which are above, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above and not on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ, right? And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. Then we'll be glorified with him. Going back to even what we were dealing with a few weeks ago, like this whole reciprocated glory, right? He's our glory. We're his glory, right? That's it. That's the way it was set up. That's the way he designed it, right? Where we're glorified in one another, right? And that's the thing. And so, but Christ has got to be our desire. He's got to be our desire. We've got to be seeking him. We've got to be seeking the face of God, the person of Christ, right? In this salvation, it can't be about, listen, this thing ain't about heaven. And I know it sounds weird. And don't get me wrong. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But if that's your motive, that's still a self-centered motive. Right? The motive is not about escaping hell. Our motive is Christ. That's why he went to the cross. God's desire was for us to fall in love, right? With him. Right. And so he's got to be our desire. And that's what David was saying. He says one thing. He didn't say above all things. He didn't say most importantly. He didn't say first on my list. He said, no. He said, one thing have I desired, right? We've got to have tunnel vision. We've got to have tunnel vision for Christ. Because listen, that's what heaven is going to be about. Man, we're in the presence of God. We're glorified in him. We're satisfied in him, right? Listen, we're totally enamored with him. It's about a love relationship. And that's why I said, man, that's my one desire. But he really, the beauty about this relationship with God is that in him is everything, right? So, you know, the selfish part of us, which we all have, I don't talk about myself, right? There's a part of me in my own flesh that's going to say, yeah, you know, man, I love the Lord. I'm going to seek after the Lord. But, you know, there are needs, right? There are innate needs that we have that we need, that we want met. But the beauty about this relationship with God is all of our needs are met in him. He's not telling us to just seek him and, like, listen, is, you know, seek, which he totally could. He'd be well within his rights to say, seek me, you know. It's all about me, and you know, because I'm so arrogant and whatever, that you just, man, I want you around me, worshiping me. First of all, it is all about him. But the wonderful thing about God is he meets all our needs in that place. His great joy, and that's the thing. If we thought about him in the right context, him for who he is and who he presents himself to be in this word, our lens would completely change, right? Our perspective on this walk of salvation would completely change, right? Our desire would change. We would desire, we'd be running to him. We'd run to the word. We wouldn't look at this. We wouldn't look at this. This wouldn't be, and I'm not saying that we do all the time. I'm just saying, like, how the flesh is at, the way the flesh, but we would not, it would not be a chore to get into the word. If we looked at this as more than, oh, I'm reading the Bible, but this is an opportunity to meet, this is an opportunity for me to meet him. This is my meeting place with the Lord. This is where he reveals himself and his plans for my life in this place. This is where he reveals his great desire, right, to bless me in this place. It's in this place where I get my needs met. If I thought about it that way more, it would not be such a burden. And I was sharing this with Pastor Wright just the other day. I was like, you know, I'm at my most peaceful place when I'm in the Word of God. When I'm in the Word of God, it seems like the challenges at work, the challenges, you know, and the responsibility of leading a home, right? Of raising my children, of, you know, the accountability and all the weight of the world gets lost when I'm in the Word of God. And it's such a blessing. But guess what? Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to get there, right? Because we have this carnality that don't want the Word. In our carnal nature, it's enmity, right? Not subject, right? Not respectful of the will of the Word of God. So sometimes the hardest thing to do is get there. Once I get there, I'm all good. But it's like my flesh wants to justify and create as many excuses as possible for me not to get there. But we got to be able to press past that to get there, because once we get there, that's when we find the peace, the joy, the contentment, right? If we're but part of making the way of getting there or charting the path to get there is seeing this whole thing from a totally different perspective, from seeing this from the perspective of that's where I find Christ. That's my meeting place. That's where I meet him. That's where not only do I meet him there, but that's where he reveals to me. That's where he tells me, I know the plans that I have for you. Right? 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 Man, that expected in plans to bless us. Right? This, that's where he, And if we begin, if we started to look at this that way, right, then it would be easier, right? It would be easier to get there. And we could talk, we could say like David said, right, my one desire, my one desire. Then he changed, you know, the desire changes because we know what we have, we know what's in store once we get there. He says, thing have part of the war that will I seek, right? Because it's pattern, it's a continuum. Once the desire of my heart, right, has been changed and shifted, right, then you know what I seek after, right, will shift, right? My desire for him will have me to seek after him, right? I'll be seeking him. I won't be seeking whatever from the word, right? I won't be running to try and avoid consequences, because that's what a lot of our obedience is about a lot of times, if we were all honest with ourselves, right? I want to be in the will of God. I want to do what he say do, because if not, something bad going to happen to me, right? Or I don't want to deal with the consequences of what, that's what a horrible way to look at this walk with God, because we're not looking at it now. You know, when we're thinking that way, we're not looking at this as a walk with God. Right now, it's a whole thing. It's about consequences, and this thing was never meant to be about consequence. Now, is there consequence? Absolutely. That's about cause and effect, right? But that's, no pun intended, inconsequential. What this is really about is fellowship. This is about us. This is about a desire for God. Listen, he could have just said, look, y'all, I'm God. I'm all that. I'm higher than you, right? Praise me, serve me, worship me, obey me, and that's it. That's not what he did. You know what he did? When he could have just thrown us away, scrapped it, and started all over again with us. What he did was he said, I love you. And I'm going to prove it to you. I need to show you how much I love you. I'm going to send my everything to die for you. That's, he showed us how much he loved us. Why? So that our hearts would be turned and broken to the fact of how much he loves us, right? That way, seeking him would not be grievous. And that's the whole thing behind 1 John chapter 5, right? When he talks about, us being born, you know, us being born of Christ, right? We're born of love. We're born of love. 1 John 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat loveth him, born of love, begat loveth him, are born out of the act of love, born out of the cross, right? What he did for us, also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, right? And that, and part of that, you know, a part of this whole being in fellowship, right, is about our love for Christ and our love for one another, right? When we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God. Why? Because our hearts have been broken. We've been born of that love, begat of love, right? Begotten of him, of what he did on the cross. We've been captivated by what Christ did for us. He captured our heart. That was his plan, to die for us, capture our heart, right? So that way, when he tells us what's good for us, we'll believe it, because he's already shown, right, that his intentions were good for us from the very beginning. He showed it. He proved it. Right? We can take him at his word because of what he's done. And as a result of that, my heart is broken to the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. It compels us. It has convinced us. It has persuaded us. right? That we thus judge, if one died, then we're all dead. That's what he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and so on, right? Our hearts are broken to the love of Christ. I can trust, he's trustworthy. I can trust him. Therefore, he's going to be my desire. Therefore, I'm going to seek after him. And I trust him enough to know that as I seek him and I find him, everything that I need is already in him. I don't have to go. I don't have to go somewhere else to get my needs met. My needs are met. He knows how to perfectly meet my needs. Man, this water that I give, you'll never thirst again, is what he said to the woman at the well, right? I know, man, I know how to get my eternal needs met. I know that's what will happen. I trust him for that in Christ Jesus. So I seek after him, right? That I may dwell, listen, he is my dwelling place. He is our habitation. He's not like an Airbnb or a hotel room. He's not a place you go to visit. He is where we live. We live. It's him. It's in him that I move and breathe and have my being. He is our dwelling place. That's why we could talk about Psalms, you know, Psalms 91 and what he talks about there. He that dwells, right? He that lives. He that lives in the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But what he says in verses 9 and 10, right? He doubles down there. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is, number one, my refuge, right? Even the Most High, that's who he is, his holiness, thy habitation, because I've made him my dwelling place. Where I live is where I live. That's my home, right? That's where I dwell. It's not an occasional place where I stop and rest. He's not who I call on only when I'm in trouble or I need something, right? He's letting us know, making him our dwelling place denotes that that's our place of fellowship. That's our sacred place. It's in him. And because I made him my habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh. That's the promise of God, right? Even in the midst of a pandemic. That's the promise of God. Him serving as our place of fellowship, our place of refuge, our dwelling place, our hiding place, man, our place of absolute and utter intimacy, right? That's him. It's him. It's him. It's all in him. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit before we got into Philippians chapter 3, where Paul, you know, is, man, talking about Christ as our righteousness, right? And that's the thing, as we seek him, right, and our agreement with him is all about, like, this, that very... that very thing, like seeking Christ as our life. He's our life, and we grow in the knowledge of that very thing. Like, and listen, this is not an indictment or like a thing where, you know, why ain't we there? Why not? You know, why aren't you there? Why? No, man, this is a journey. This is our journey with him, right? And that's the thing about it. The fellowship, it's not even about the end game. Man, listen, what God wants us to do, he wants us to enjoy this fellowship now. Like, we want to enjoy, and that's why I say it's not about heaven, right? It is ultimately, but not heaven the place, but heaven the fellowship, heaven the eternal fellowship with Christ, right? Right? But, like, we, like, looking forward to that, absolutely, we'd be crazy not to, But really, it's but what we do, we neglect and we negate the joy and the blessing of what we have with him right now, right? It's anybody could say, and I forget which book in the Bible it is in the epistles or in the New Testament, where you know Paul was addressing those who, well, the writer was addressing those who they were saved and they were just sitting around waiting for God to come back, right? They were just sitting waiting for him to come back, right? But and it was letting them know you're missing the whole purpose of this thing. Right? And many of us are sitting back. Man, you know, the pandemic was a wonderful excuse for many of us to hide in our homes, right? And become recluse and to separate ourselves and just sit back and like, oh, Lord, when is you going to come? This world. No, man, we ought to be about the business of enjoying him, enjoying Christ, right? And as that, and this whole thing of salvation, this whole premise of righteousness, of seeking Christ as our life, seeking him as our life, right? It's all about that pursuit. It's all about the pursuit for that thing. And that's what Paul was even dealing with in this Philippians chapter 3, right? Starting like right around the fourth verse. He said, you know, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, right? And he's calling out his resume, circumcised, everything, it's all the stuff that matters in the world, but don't mean a hill of beans in the grand scheme of eternity. And this is all the stuff that we as people tend to focus on and invest all of our time and energy in these things. And this was the very thing that Paul, these are the very things that Paul was rejecting, right? These are the very things that Paul was rejecting. He said, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel. So he had lineage, right? He came from a prestigious family and line and name, right? Of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, right? So he had lineage. He says, as touching the law, a Pharisee, which means he had position and he had authority, right? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, right? So he even had, you know, he had purpose in terms of his volition, or, what he did in life, right? Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, right? All those things, right? He had education. Paul had everything that people in this world are fighting and scratching and clawing for, right? He had those things, but he said, what things were gained to me, those things I count loss for Christ. Listen, he counted all those things, all the things that he had gained in the world, all the things that he counted valuable, he said, I count those things but loss. They have no value to me any longer, right? Loss for who? Not for what, right? But for who? For Christ. He said, listen, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Listen, he doubles down. Count all things but loss for the excellency, right? The privilege, right, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count those things as loss. Listen, I count, he said, I count them but dung. That, so not only is he saying for what I've currently discovered and what I know about this Christ, Paul, saved on the Damascus Road, Christ himself speaking to Paul, the revelation of who Christ was in that moment, right? Not only in what he knew about him in that day, he said, I count all these things for loss, for the excellency, right, of the knowledge or for knowing Christ, but he continues on, and do count them even so much less as dung, and we all know what dung is, that I may win Christ. In other words, he's speaking to his continual pursuit of knowing Christ. So he wasn't just satisfied in the what he knew of or current fellowship, right, with God, but he's speaking to a desire to want to know him more, right? And that, and we ought to take from that and knowing, man, we could get to a point where we just got completely overwhelmed when we think about who we were, where he found us, when and where we accepted him, the state we were in at that time, right? And what his love has delivered us from. But guess what? Just when you thought you had everything and you knew all that you needed to know and you were just overwhelmed and enamored, right? Man, there's no ceiling on ship. He's saying, oh, there's so much more. There's so much more in me, in him, right? And this is where Paul was. Paul says, listen, man, I recognize, man, and I know who I was, right? He said, man, I was, man, chief among all the sinners, right? Man, Paul was responsible for the stoning death of Stephen, right? So he knew what the love of Christ, man, had delivered him from. But all that did was produce in him a greater desire to seek him all the more as his life. And that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. We can't get content and rest on our laurels because, man, this is the God who said, this is Paul said it, of this Christ, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. No limit. Right? To what we have in Christ Jesus. Man, and he wants us in this fellowship, in this walk with him, man, to continually uncover the depths of the love of Christ that for us, the depths of his power, right? The depths of his joy, man, the depths of his love, that you may be rooted and grounded with Christ, that we might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the length, the width, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And this was Paul's pursuit. This was his pursuit. So like we could even sit back and say, even in our own life, and say, yeah, man, I gave up this, I gave up that. Man, because Christ is so good, right? And praise God, absolutely. But he's saying, don't stop there. There's so much more. He's saying, you've only begun to scratch the surface of who I am and what I want to do in your life and what I have for you. Man, he, to get us to a place where we can look this stuff in the face that's happening in this world and we can still be overwhelmed with joy and peace. That's our victory. It's the victory that we have, even our faith. It's a testimony. It's the testimony of Scripture. And he says, in verse 9, and be found in him. See, and this is the key. This is the key. This is the thing, right? And being found in him, listen, not having mine own righteousness, right? Which is the law, which is me, my ability to obey the law, my ability to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, as Minister Tobin, Pastor Wright always say, right? My ability to make it happen, my ability to go get an education, right? My smarts, my talents, my ability to do enough, to get enough, to acquire enough that I might live my best life in this world. You're still cheating yourself, right? He's saying no. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, right? Our righteousness, pursuing Christ as our life, our faith in what he has done, what he did to place, what that initiated, the cross initiated, it set a chain reaction. It initiated him taking our place. starting on the cross, and from that time forward throughout eternity, Christ as our life, right? Listen, that I may know him, right? This is what we've been talking about. I may grow in the knowledge of God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection in me, his life resurrected in me, and the fellowship of this suffering, right? That I'm fellowship with him as I'm being replaced, as my life is being lost and I'm finding him, right? Being found in him is what he says in 9, right? As his life is replacing me, as I continually seek Christ as my life is being replaced by him, right? Fellowship of his suffering, because it's the suffering of self, right? Being made what? Conformable to his, unto his death. That's what we're talking about here. We're being replaced by him. How? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that his life might replace, I'm resurrected with him. His life has, he took my place, and I've died with him. Therefore, I'm resurrected with him, right? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's talking about this process, this seeking, this searching, right? This pursuit, right? Of knowing Christ the more, right? Of growing in agreement and fellowship with him, right? Of him replacing me, right? That I may be apprehended of that which I have been apprehended of, Christ Jesus. And that's what I've talked about. He's with us. He got us. He's got a hold of us. Man, we've got to get a hold of him. And that really is talking about our agreement. That's the fellowship. He says, one thing, right? Just like David said, one thing right? Listen, look at these godly men, right? These men that God has used, right? To bless us through his word, right? They all had tunnel vision for Christ. They had tunnel vision. One thing, he said, David said, one thing have I desired. Paul said, one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, right? I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was in pursuit for Christ. Christ was the prize. It wasn't a thing he was necessarily looking for, right? But what he was looking for, what his desire was in seeking the Lord and finding the Lord, apprehending that which he had been apprehended of, Christ Jesus, right? Christ was his one thing. Christ was his prize. And guess what, y'all? Christ is our prize. He's our prize. The prize is not more money on the job or a better car or a house or all those things. Guess what? When we find Christ, he'll bless us with what we need. What he's saying is don't get your attention and your focus off of all that stuff and get your attention and focus on me. And guess what? I can do exceeding and abundantly above what you ask for. Stop spending time asking me for stuff, right? And what you can conceive, right? Just let me do what I'm going to do is what he's saying, right? But our focus is him. When our focus is him, and he'll bless us. Reality of the matter is those things can't bring you joy and peace. Christ is the author. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the center. Peace is in him. It's not in things. Those things, man, he'll bless us to sustain us and to keep us. But I'm telling you right now, give me peace. I got education. I got 2 degrees. I got a pretty good job. And guess what? Ain't neither one of them giving me no peace right now. Peace is in Christ Jesus. It's in him. It's not in stuff. It's not in the stuff that we're pursuing. Man, but it's in him. And he can do more with a little bit than we can with a whole lot. And he'll make sure that we have perfect peace. Because why? Because we've kept our minds stayed on him. He's our pursuit. It's gotta be him. And it's about a growing knowledge or knowledge, a growing relationship. We ought to be growing in seeking Christ as our everything, seeking to know him more every day. Because guess what? You'll never know enough. There's no limit. There's no ceiling on who this Christ is and what he wants to reveal of himself to us. Will mess us up. Will blow our natural mind. Man, he wants to blow our mind. Amen. So that's it. Praise God. Thank God for everybody. We love you. We thank God for you. Let's close out in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we thank you for just this time together in fellowship. Lord God, we thank you just for the treasure of your word, just the omniscience, the very deep wisdom of your word. But God, we thank you, Lord God, just the revelation of who you are, God, Jehovah Elohim, God, all by yourself, our sufficiency, oh God. Lord God, to know that you're not just enough, but you're more than enough, even for us, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, that you stand ready just to reveal through yourself, in yourself, oh God, the very depth of who you are to us, oh God, and the revelation and the knowledge of knowing that we don't need anybody or anything else but you. So help us, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'll just even further break every single one of our hearts further to your love, oh God, that we might be motivated, Lord, to seek you all the more, that we might find you all the more, Lord God, that you might reveal yourself to us even all the more. Oh God, help us, Lord God, by the aid of your Holy Spirit, just to commit, Lord God, to your word that much more, Lord God, that the word won't be on the shelf. But, oh God, that it will be in our hearts, Lord God, speaking, validating, affirming, oh God, securing us, Lord God, and Lord God, just exposing us to our need for you all the more. Have your way in this time. Lord God, meet us, oh God, in our place of need. Lord God, we thank you, oh God, that you're omnipresent, Lord God, and you're omniscient and omnipotent, and Lord God, that you're able and qualified to meet us where we are, Lord God, and to satisfy and fill us, oh God, to meet us, Lord God, and Lord God, just adhere and see to our eternal needs. Have your way, Lord God. We pray your blessings upon every single person on this line, every single house represented, Lord God, that you will bless them, bless us with the blessings that we stand in need of. Have your way right now, Lord God, those bereaved families, oh God, even hearing of more death this week, Lord God, of people that we know and are affiliated with, Lord God, we pray that you would just help them, Lord God, reveal yourself in their time, Lord God, to be with them, to be to them what you can and do in their lives, only what it is that you can do. Have your right now, Father, in the name. Thank you, God. We praise you and we bless your name. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.